Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. This Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Couple different things around the Cavs we need to discuss and get into, especially a tweet that Chris had last night. But I want to start off with this report from Brett Siegel. And I don't know how much you know Brett or how close you are with Brett, but I imagine...
A little bit.
A little bit? Okay, mm-hmm. All right. I want to put the framework out there. This is not NBA fan 6969 just throwing things up against the wall. This is somebody that legitimately does report on stories, has some contacts, has some sources. Is he still very young in his career? Mm-hmm. Probably appears to be that way. Actually, I think Jake texted me in between the break. I think we're going to have Brett on tomorrow. So we'll probably be like, hey, Brett, explain your thought process on this. Mm. Let's hear what you have to say. But he's heard the Cavs have checked in on potentially trading for Kevin Durant. So I'm not going to ask you whether or not you think the reporting is accurate, because that's just not fair.
Right.
But do you think the idea behind the Cavs checking in on potentially trading for Kevin Durant, do you think that would be something the Cavs would be doing?
I think they have to. Just because if you're talking about this offseason in the NBA, Jonathan, there are two guys that could be significant trade acquisitions.
Mm-hmm.
It's Giannis, it's KD.
Yeah.
Then there's a big gap the rest of the way.
Yeah, then there's like the, you know, the
Lowry,
Morant, potentially
Andrew Wiggins, Zion Williamson. But KD and Giannis, if you're a team in the NBA and you're not checking in on them just to see what it would cost, just to see what level of interest that team has and some of the players on your team, you're not doing your job. And the Cavs would be foolish not to check in on KD. Now, there's a whole nother conversation to this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the viability of it.
Yeah.
I think there's more of a viability of the Cavs getting Giannis than there is for KD.
Okay.
And that's pie in the sky. Right?
And we talked about that for a couple of weeks,
did we not?
It was like Giannis for Mobley.
Yeah.
And it was a bunch of different discussions there. Now, all right, so what's your leading reason why it's not very viable? Is it the Ishbia and Dan Gilbert feud? Would that be part of the reason?
That's a huge part of the reason.
To me, I think that's the number one reason.
Yes. Do you think Matt Ishbia wants to see the Cavs win a championship?
Yeah, no chance. Over his dead body,
not.
He would want to see that.
No. Dan Gilbert won't even call Matt Ishbia Matt Ishbia.
What does he call him?
It's the guy in Phoenix.
Yeah, okay.
And Matt Ishbia won't even contact Dan Gilbert or call him Dan Gilbert. It's the guy in Cleveland. Like, these two teams are not going to help each other win a championship in any sort of way. So, yeah, I guess you could pull in a third team or a fourth team, but still, if the end result is KD in Cleveland helping the Cavs win a championship, that is a no-go from the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, I looked at it the same way. Like, that's got to be the extreme non-starter of non-starters, just the relationship between the two of them, and it would just mean it would never happen.
And then you go to the next layer of this whole thing is, what would Phoenix want in return for KD? Probably want some combination of young players and draft picks.
Well, right, let's talk it out. Yeah, ballpark it with me.
I don't think it's Mobley. I think that's a little bit too much for a 37-year-old KD, and I don't think Phoenix would set it that high, the price tag for KD, but I would think multiple draft picks, multiple first-round picks, to either use them themselves or to flip those into other assets, other help now assets. So I think you're talking Darius Garland and pull a third team in to get the draft pick capital.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the general framework. Jared Allen and two first round picks. That's probably the general framework. But then you say, how do you get those two first round picks? Then you have to trade your other good players to get those picks. So I just don't think that there's a match that aligns with the Cavs have what the Phoenix Suns would want in return for a KD type trade. I think if you're talking Houston, if you're talking San Antonio, now that's different. San Antonio has obviously a high pick this year. They've got the reigning rookie of the year. They've got other young players that are interesting in Keldon Johnson and Devin Vassell. So if we're workshopping it from a Cavs standpoint, I think it would require a third. It's pie in the sky, But I think it would theoretically require a third team to get the draft capital that the Cavs cannot offer to Phoenix.
The Spurs always make a lot of sense to me. I like that you bring them up. Castle, obviously the rookie of the year. He's been fantastic. De'Aaron Fox, Wemby, and like you just go on and on.
Yeah.
You see KD in that lineup, and it just shut the league down.
Yeah, and they also need an adult.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't win in the NBA with all young players. You need some adults in that room, too. And KD, De'Aaron Fox, that was part of the thinking behind trading for De'Aaron Fox, like San Antonio did. And KD would be the same kind of thing, but there are going to be a bunch of teams interested in KD because he's the second most impactful trade acquisition this offseason.
Yeah, and part of why, I shot it down the same way you did in my head initially, but it's one of those things, part of why, like, when you start fantasizing about these things, you even go to the Giannis trade, and you're thinking about it in different ways, but mm-hmm. It's like, would Giannis go to Cleveland? Yeah, he would. He just spent 12 years in Milwaukee. He learned that the NBA, you can play just about anywhere. Would KD go to Cleveland? I think KD at this point just wants to play for someone that's going to compete. And I think KD within this lineup would compete. I mean, right now they already have the second best odds in the East as is. You put KD on this team and you're overtaking Boston in that category.
Yeah, I think depending on what you would have to give up in order to get him. Do I think it would be an interesting move for the Cavs? Of course.
I mean, Donovan.
He increases their championship chances.
Let's say it is Darius and picks. If it's Donovan, Evan, and KD, that's instantly the best team in the East.
Yes.
And depending on what you think about the Thunder, now that they're down 2-1, maybe we're not talking dynasties anymore. I don't know. You tell me. But you're instantly the favorite, at least, to come out of your own conference.
For all the questions that we have and the conversations that we have about the readiness of Darius and the readiness of Evan, KD is a postseason killer. You can talk all these things about he's not an alpha, he needs to be the number two option. Fine, whatever. We've seen him on the playoff stage make some of the biggest shots of the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen him on the playoff stage outplay LeBron James. LeBron James in his prime. KD has outplayed him. So you bring him here, yeah, all of a sudden your championship chances increase. There's no doubt about that.
It sucks that he does play for Phoenix right now, and that Ishbia thing is just such a non-starter. Because I'd love to have the fantasy of it all, the same way we talked about Giannis, and we did do that for a couple weeks, even if everyone knew it just wasn't reality. Just because I love the idea of the Cavs being interested and invested in somebody, where even if it dampens your long-term realities, just the idea that next year. I said shut it down for him in San Antonio. Hey, throw him on this Cavs team, shut it down the same exact way. Like, you're instantly the best team in the East, and there's not really much of a debate.
Yeah, there's just another conversation about the situation that the Cavs are in. The stage of this organization is trading a lot of assets, some pretty premium assets, for a 37-year-old KD.
Yeah, I mean,
is that the right move for this team?
It's a very short window that you'd be playing with. KD does get injured as well, so like if you found yourself in a spot where KD just ends up with an injury, then there goes that, and you're left holding the bag, and it just kind of sucks. But this Cavs team in general doesn't have like the longest window as is. Jason's written about it a million times. The idea.
I know.
We say it again?
I know, like the 2-year thing because of the second apron.
I mean, it just, like, you're already up against it anyway. Like, I think there's got to be a balance there, right? Like, the idea that you should be at many different turns, you should be trying to push the chips in the middle of the table in this construct of the current NBA. And it's really hard to say, I have a 2-3-4-year plan, and we're going to go ahead and capitalize and win in that at least time frame.
Well, the problem with the Cavs is that they made their KD trade already. They did it a couple years ago, and they acquired Donovan Mitchell. And they used a lot of their trade assets in order to get Donovan, and nobody would say that was a bad deal or that deal hasn't worked out for the Cavs. I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
Donovan's been everything that the Cavs could have ever wanted and more.
I'd say more, for sure. Yeah.
So if you're talking about, like, the secondary trade chips, Cavs really don't have those. They don't want to move Evan Mobley. Darius Garland, again, we've talked about that a number of different times, but there has to be a deal out there that they would say yes to. So considering a possibility of moving Darius versus saying yes to it or thinking that it would make them a better basketball team, those are two different things. The only really young, interesting player that they have that is quote-unquote expendable is Jalen Tyson. And what's that doing for a team like Phoenix? He's not a centerpiece of a trade package. So usually the centerpiece of a trade package is Darius, Evan Mobley, or future draft capital. And if they don't have a ton of motivation to move off Evan or Darius, and they don't have the future draft capital, the first round picks, what are you going to make the centerpiece of a KD trade? What are you going to make the centerpiece of a Lauri Markkanen trade if you want to start throwing out names and stuff like that? You
right.
know what I mean?
No, I get what you're saying. I guess I'm trying to figure out, where does this end? Like 2 years?
Jared Allen's not a centerpiece of
no,
a trade.
No, Jared is
not for this caliber
player.
Oh,
no, I mean, just remove myself and remove us in this conversation from this offseason. Then I'm talking about, where does it end in general? Like, is this just 2 years down the line? Is it moving Donovan at that point? Is that what that is? And then you try to get something back
it's
in return.
It's entirely possible.
A younger player that has value, and you go from there. Like, what does this look like?
It's entirely possible, but at the very least, Evan Mobley protects any kind of complete bottoming out. Like, he protects the future of this organization. And as long as they have Evan Mobley, who is already second team All-NBA,
yeah.
who is already Defensive Player of the Year, who is already a one-time All-Star, and there's a belief that he's going to continue to get better and better and better, and may... emphasis on may possibly be in an MVP conversation down the road. That's a really good place to be when you're talking about protecting the future. So yeah, like, it is kind of, from a championship perspective, it is a 2-year window, and you have to strike now because the second apron and all the restrictions and the luxury tax and all the restrictions there. But as long as you have Evan Mobley and he becomes the player eventually that you believe he can be, you're never during his...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This time here, you're not going to become the Washington Wizards, the Charlotte Hornets. You're still going to be a competitive franchise.
Yeah, and in today's NBA, you know, it's funny, we joked about baseball and how it's kind of like you just get in, you punch your ticket, and you go from there. I mean, I don't know if you feel this way, but I kind of feel like after watching this NBA postseason and just watching how quick it changes, now it feels like 10 different teams could have won the NBA Finals this year. Are we moving more towards just get your ticket punched and then just go from there?
I think so. This is a league of parity right now. This is not a big three era. This is not a dynasty.
I mean, because it used to be 5 years ago, you could say in October who was going to meet in the NBA Finals. I could tell you when the games first started in the beginning portion of the regular season, I'd be like, it's Cavs Warriors. We're in a collision course towards that. Mm-hmm. And the past 6 or 7 years, but more importantly, really the past couple years, it just hasn't felt that same way. Like every NBA champion that we've had for the previous 6 seasons, Chris, they have not made it past the second round the very next year.
Yeah.
Like these teams aren't repeating and going deep the following season. It's remarkable where we're at. And I do think they're moving more towards baseball than they are what historically basketball's been. Maybe that's a good thing for the Cavs.
So coming into this year, I think there was a gap between Boston and everybody else in the East. But things happened.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum ruptured his Achilles. Porzingis was dealing with an illness that nobody could diagnose. Jrue Holiday looked older and older and older. So the looming threat of Boston, it's not the same feeling. For other teams in the Eastern Conference, they should feel emboldened to try and go for it next year and make these significant moves, because Boston's not going to be Boston.
Right.
Boston's not going to be the threat that it was supposed to be coming into this year. And then in the Western Conference, we've already talked about OKC and the fact that they're really, really, really good right now, and they've got plenty of room to get better and better and better. But there are some things that you wonder about the Thunder. You wonder about how the egos are going to mesh. You wonder about their coach compared to some other coaches in an NBA Finals situation. You wonder about their level of readiness. Now, if they win a championship, it's completely different, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think anybody is looking at them. You know, if they don't win the championship this year, I don't think anybody is looking at them as a team that if we make the right moves, we can't possibly compete with them.
Right.
And that's how teams looked at the Warriors in the day. That's how the Raptors looked at the Cavs. That's how the Hawks looked at the Cavs. That's how the Pacers looked at the Cavs of the LeBron era.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't exist in today's NBA, not to the same level. So I do think it opens up teams to hoping a little bit more, and I think it opens up teams to being a little bit more bold when it comes to quote unquote going for it.
Yeah, maybe that's why I just have some hope and some optimism there. Like you describe it being just Mobley, and then you kind of sort things out in the next couple of years. It's like, well, the NBA is what it has been for the past couple of years now, and what it looks like it's going to be moving forward. You still have a chance in that landscape.
Yeah, and who knows what Darius, if Darius is here, yeah, and he's going to be a Cav, who knows what Darius is going to be like at 27 or 28 years old. He very easily could learn from all of these shortcomings in the playoffs. He very easily could be a different, more dynamic, more special player than what he is right now, because evolution still happens, and it can still take place for somebody like Darius.
All right, 216-474-0092. I'm glad you brought up Darius, because Kevin O'Connor had a mixed opinion on Darius Garland and whether or not Darius is holding the Cavs back. We'll get to it in 5 minutes. It's Afternoon Drive. Jonathan Peterlin, Chris Fedor with you guys right here on The Fan. All right, so I want to play this clip for you. So it's fun talking to you with NBA stuff, and especially playing other media members' thoughts, ideas, etc., because you know everybody in the NBA. I don't know that there's a person out there that I've mentioned in the previous, you obviously were here Tuesday as well. Mm. And I'm like, so what's your thought on this guy? And you just don't have one, or you don't have a relationship. The sad part about this is a couple people that I kind of want to rip in certain spots, but you're like, nope, love that guy. That guy's awesome.
Just say rhymes with. Nobody will know who you're talking about.
Yeah, naturally. That's all. That'll save me for sure. But I like Kevin
O'Connor.
Rhymes
with Jim Stontemps.
Right? He just is such a Cavs hater. He's the biggest Cavs hater I've ever seen in my life.
He's just really open and honest, and he has opinions on a lot of stuff.
My problem with Bontemps is the Bontemps flip-flop that he ended up doing. There was an article that he put out on a Tuesday night. It was before the second time the Cavs played the Thunder, and it was talking about all the deficiencies and the problems that the Cavs had, and then it was a national game, and the Cavs played really well, and that was the one they won. And then the next morning, Bontemps came out and was like, this is why they could win the NBA Finals. And it was like, Bontemps, pick a lane. If you're going to be a hater, I'm cool with it, but just pick a lane for me, please.
Well, you also have to open yourself up to the idea that teams can get better and they can change your mind.
And that one game.
That one game against OKC.
That was going to be enough. Wait, listen here. If I'm going to ask you to open your mind when it comes to Shedeur Sanders and the idea that, I don't know, maybe he's the Nikola Jokic of the NFL, where he gets drafted during a Taco Bell commercial and then is third in Rookie of the Year voting in year one, because people are not necessarily what they got drafted, Chris Fedor. If I'm going to ask you to do that, then maybe I need to respect the Bontemps flip-flop as well.
All right.
But I like Kevin O'Connor. I think Kevin O'Connor does good work. He came on here a couple weeks ago. It was like 2-3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was after he did a podcast. And he went through... First off, he ripped the diff. Does it bother you that every national person at some point this season became hip to the diff and then realized they either liked or didn't like it?
No, I don't care. I liked it. It helped me with my story. So I didn't have to do the math myself. Are you kidding me?
And that was part of the...
Nobody told me there was going to be math in my
job.
That
was the thought process there. Yeah, but you bowled in high school. And any bowler...
I didn't keep my own score.
Any bowler is naturally good at the short version of different math because you're constantly adding up the different parts of what you could and could not score.
Oh, God, no.
You never got that?
Oh, no. Not at all.
The only reason why I'm like good at math to this day is because of bowling, because I just
constantly
was adding up the different numbers and the different ways and the different combinations and what my score could end up being. And then, you know, over X amount of years, you just get really good at math because of that stuff.
Still terrible.
Not at all. Okay, no worries. Anyway, he forgot about Whammer's existence. And I thought
forget Whammer?
That's what I told him. And he was like...
A polar bear.
He only remembered Moondog. Okay. Forgot about Whammer completely.
Jeez.
And then went down a whole thing. I don't think he even knew about Sir Cece. We didn't even have to bring that up into the equation at all.
Jeez. But is Sir Cece the Jared Allen of the core four? I feel like everybody just picks on Jared Allen all the time.
Could be dropped at any minute.
Kevin Love of the big three.
Wax playoff intensity is what I always say about Sir Cece. Yeah, it's kind of the... You got the rub on Sir Cece. But Kevin was talking about Darius Garland and the topic we've been talking about over the past couple of days. And this is what he had to say about whether or not Darius is holding the team back.
There's a number of teams that could use a point guard. Orlando, I would love to see have talks for Darius Garland. If Cleveland wants to deal within the conference, that's a whole other question. Sacramento, they dealt Fox earlier this year. Maybe would they go for Garland? There's a number of teams. Houston's interesting as well. If they wanted to upgrade from Fred VanVleet, if Cleveland can... I do think dealing Garland is objective number one. Jared Allen, I'm more indifferent about. I do think the two big versatility could be valuable, but you know, we have seen him, you know, have his issues in the postseason as well. Ultimately for Cleveland, some of their revisions might have to come around the edges.
All right, what do you buy into that?
A lot of what he said. I mean, I do think they could end up in a point where this offseason, a lot of the changes or the small tweaks to the roster come around the edges because of the situation that they're in and because they don't get the kind of offers for Darius or Jarrett that they would be willing to say yes to or that they think would make them a better basketball team. I also don't know that trading Darius is priority number one. The sense that I get is priority number one is see if you can find a dumping ground for Isaac Okoro's contract, which I'm told is becoming problematic, and I'm told is being difficult.
Finding a trade partner, that is.
Yeah, you're probably going to have to attach assets to it just to get off of that contract, because I think most people look at Isaac not as an asset himself or a valuable player himself, but we're doing you a favor by taking on his contract, because his contract doesn't meet the value of the player on the court. So if the Cavs get in a situation where they have to attach assets to it, future second round picks or something like that, I don't know that that's something that they would be inclined to do. But calling Darius and trading Darius the number one priority, I don't think so. I don't get that sense.
Okay. It's got to be more around the other players. And you mentioned Okoro in there. That's really sad that Okoro's value has got to that point. But I don't know that there's a Cavs fan out there that would disagree with that assessment.
He makes $11 million.
I know.
Is he an $11 million player?
No, not in the slightest bit.
He gets 19 minutes in the postseason or something like that. So we're talking about eighth or ninth guy in an NBA playoff rotation. That's not $11 million.
Is Kobe ready to give up on him?
I think he would for sure. Because of the realities of the salary cap situation that the Cavs are walking into. If you can find a taker for Isaac Okoro, it makes it easier to justify the contract that you're going to give to Ty Jerome or Sam Merrill or something along those lines. But the Darius thing, it's not just made up. People think I just made it up 3 weeks ago. I wouldn't do that, first of all. Mm-hmm. I can't do that in the job that I have editors. I have bosses that I report to. I can't just throw stuff out there. But there's a reason why it keeps coming up, because people see the reality of the situation that the Cavs are in, and they see the benefit potentially to trade Darius and how that could potentially improve the team and give them more pieces to this roster. And I think they also see the fact that there are teams out there that would certainly have an interest in Darius. Mm-hmm. Minnesota, Sacramento, maybe Boston, New Orleans,
Orlando,
yeah. You name it. Like a dynamic two-time all-star point guard that's 25 years old and could potentially continue to get better and better and better. Of course teams are going to have an interest in somebody like Darius. The question comes down to, are they willing to offer enough for the Cavs to make that difficult decision?
All right, we'll put a pin in that. Herm Edwards, ESPN analyst, former NFL head coach. He'll get us back to a Browns conversation. We'll find out what he thinks about Shedeur Sanders and versus Dylan Gabriel versus Kenny Pickett versus Joe Flacco in a four-quarterback battle. We'll do it next. Herm Edwards with us right here on Afternoon Drive.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. This Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.